Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and today we got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking about seasonal health. This time of year, people get seasonal allergies. I thought, well, let's talk about seasonal health, and we'll talk with your favorite pharmacist, Rosemary Pierce. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Johnny Bowden about his latest book, Smart Fat. But before we do that, here's Alan with the health news.
Researchers say they have pinpointed several factors that increase asthma risk in women and to a lesser extent in men. They analyzed data from about 175,000 people between the ages of 18 and 44 in 51 countries. They found that underweight or obese women who drank and smoked were twice as likely to have asthma as those with a healthy weight who didn't drink or smoke. Underweight or obese women who smoked and drank were also 2 to 3 times more likely to have wheezing, according to the study published April 4th in the journal BMJ Open Respiratory Research. But the study did not prove that these factors cause asthma. It only showed an association. In a news release, lead author Jayadeep Patra said although individual physical and behavioral factors associated with asthma have been examined before, people are often exposed to multiple risk factors, so it's important that we understand the combined impact. Teen driving curfews can not only cut car crashes, they may also lower youth crime rates, a new study suggests. Researchers from the University of Texas at Dallas analyzed FBI national data from 1995 to 2011 to compare arrests of 16 and 17-year-olds to young adults aged 18 and older in states with nighttime driving curfews for new drivers. Arrests of the teens fell 4 to 6% in all states with driving curfews, and reductions were even higher, 5 to 8%, in those states with the strictest restrictions on new drivers. The largest decline in arrests were in states that had graduated license programs in place the longest, and the biggest drops in arrests were for crimes such as manslaughter or murder, larceny, and aggravated assault, the researchers said. The study was published online in the Journal of Policy Analysis and Management. Regular exercise helps counteract the harmful health effects of too much sitting, a new British study suggests. Study co-author Kishan Rakrania, a University of Leicester researcher, said the research is significant because it demonstrates yet again why physical activity and exercise is so important. It shows that people who spend large amounts of time not moving, either through work, leisure, or lifestyle, can counteract some of the negative effects of sedentary behavior by regularly exercising. Researchers analyzed data from a 2008 National Health Survey of adults in England. They grouped people according to their levels of physical activity and sitting time. Adults who sat a lot and didn't get any exercise had more heart disease and diabetes risk factors than those who spent a lot of time sitting but got regular exercise, the researchers said. The study was published online recently in the journal BMC Public Health. Testing the length of the ends of your DNA strands may not be the best predictor of how long you will live, a new study suggests. Instead, simpler measures that include your age and your ability to climb stairs or walk a short distance may more accurately pinpoint longevity, researchers report. The study team analyzed death rates over 5 years among older people in the United States, 60 and older, Costa Rica, 61 and older, and Taiwan, 53 and older. The aim was to find out how a broad set of basic measures, such as age, mobility, and smoking habits, compared with gauging the lengths of telomeres in predicting death over a 5-year period. Telomeres are the ends of DNA that shrink with age, the researchers said. But this new study found that using telomere length was just slightly better than a coin toss, the researchers said. Actual age was, by far, the single best predictor of death, according to the findings published online April 6th in the journal PLOS-1.
Alan, thanks for that. Well, our first guest, Rosemary Pierce, is a holistic pharmacist, a frequent contributor to the Health First Show, and a great resource that we love to call on from time to time. Rosemary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Good to be back again.
I want to talk about, seasonal health. As I did the introduction, I talked about the fact that, this time of year, a lot of people get seasonal allergies, but I don't want to focus necessarily on just the negative. What are some of the things that people deal with this time of year that, that they might think about going into a pharmacy or a health food store for?
Well, this is the time of year where we're moving outdoors,
yes.
Which is wonderful. All of us, I think, look forward to the time when we can get into the garden and start, plans, especially these days. I find that a lot of people are recognizing that getting themselves outdoors and grounded into the earth is extremely healthy, and we're also looking at growing a lot of us more of our own food. So planting food And not only does that mean vegetables, but also fruit forests is what I like to call it, where you're planting trees and bushes and berries, and like the trees would be fruit-producing trees. Mm. So all of that means, and I think there's a fair amount of us, especially more health conscious, that realize having our own food is really valuable. But that's a lot of hard work. And getting outdoors, though albeit amazingly wonderful, can expose us to the sun. I don't know if you've noticed, but the sun seems to be hotter these days, where we tend to burn more easily. And so there's a need to balance between not overprotecting ourselves from sun, but also not forgetting, you know, to take care of ourselves. I had a friend we met yesterday, and I said, "Wow, you're tanned." Of course, living on the West Coast, we've had quite a bit of gardening going on. She said, "Yeah, I've been forgetting to put my hat on when I'm out in the garden, going to it." She put in a food forest as well. Both her and I did that this year. It's great fun. But another thing that tends to happen is that we're not used to that type of movement, bending over, digging, carrying heavy things. So protecting one's back is particularly valuable to remember that that's not the type of exercise that we usually do all year round. Most of us do it only seasonally. So there's protecting the body, there's taking care of the skin, and there's also the potential for allergies. Do you know that allergies are actually the number one reason for illness in the in North America?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it seasonal allergies or is it all types of allergies?
Airborne allergies.
Airborne. Okay.
Yeah. So that would really flare up seasonally with all the pollens and exposure to what's going on in our outside air. So really, the allergies affect 40 to 50 million of us in North America.
Well, that's a fairly significant amount, Rosemary.
Yes, that is. And that speaks to our health, I think. It speaks to our adrenal health, our immune health, and our gut health.
What does the gut have to do with allergies?
There's, you know, I've been studying this for a long time. I did a paper on allergies, a 5,000 word, almost like a thesis on allergies about 12 years ago. And at that time, they'd already had studies showing that if you're treating airborne allergies for children, that if you give them probiotics, they recover.
Wow.
Don't think at that time they knew why, but now we know the mechanism that the immune system, you know, 75-80% of our immune system is found just inside the lining of our intestinal system. So if we are inflaming our intestines through poor food, through eating foods that we're allergic to or react to, like gluten and dairy, and we don't have good normal flora, our microbiome is off because of antibiotics and taking birth control pills or drugs in general, If we have an imbalance in there, we have a lot of gas and bloating or any type of digestive disorder, we're going to have those immune system cells revved up. Now, what happens when they rev up? Two things, allergies or autoimmune disease.
Mm.
So there's a direct correlation now, we know. So it's no wonder when they reestablish in those children in the studies, when they reestablish their normal flora, that they saw their allergies go down. And I would say the opposite is true as well. If you're treating your allergies, however you're treating them, if you're not dealing with the underlying issues, the stress issues, where you need lots of vitamin C and vitamin Bs, to help the body through a stressful situation. If you're not working with your immune system and your gut health, then most likely those substances are not going to work very well for you.
Is it, I thought that's why people go out and work in the garden is just to, you know, get rid of the stresses. But I mean, if we're digging up the pollen and, you know, we're getting these allergies, and, you know, with children as well playing outside this time of year, what do you recommend in terms of probiotics and how to take them?
Well, I think it needs to be a variety. We have up to 1,000 different types of microbiota in our system, which we used to call normal flora. Mm-hmm. So this mixture of good, healthy bacteria and some not so healthy, but in a small quantity, that's okay. That mixture can't be replaced with one probiotic, even if it's a really good one. And, you know, you might think the more that's in it, the better. Not necessarily, because we want to make sure when we engineer a probiotic that we have really good strains. And the microbiologists, you know, these PhD scientists that work on this stuff, recommend about 5 together, no more than 5. So having a good probiotic that you, from a reputable company, and there are many good ones there, is one thing. And then adding in fermented food, and also eating a bit of dirt.
So, Rosemary, you're telling me you eat dirt now.
I do. I love it when I can pull a carrot out of the garden.
Okay.
Just put the hose on it.
Okay.
And then eat and eat it not, because we sterilize ourselves too much. It's all this hand washing and these antibacterial soaps. And so now we know that, you know, children crawling on the floor and getting into certain bacteria at that crawling age, absolutely essential for their health. The other thing that I should recommend, or I should mention here, is vaccinations. Mm. I know it's a really controversial subject, but I've read so much around the effects of the taking vaccinations, especially multiple vaccinations, and then having our immune system in compromised positions as we age.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the vaccinations might seem fine at the time, but our incidence of allergies and autoimmune disease have really gone up. I mean, those statistics that I gave you were from the National Institute of Allergy and Immune Diseases. So given it's the highest amount of illness that we have, why is that?
Mm-hmm. So you're suggesting that really to boost up that immune system, start with probiotics. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Probiotics and fermented food.
Okay.
So that means good unpasteurized sauerkraut, kefirs, kombucha, our own fermented vegetables, good quality yogurt. I especially recommend it made with other things like coconut milk or goat's milk, other than plain dairy. Because usually dairy, if a person's having a lot of allergies and they're outside, they might look at what foods they're eating that could be stimulating their allergies. Say, for example, at one time you couldn't handle almonds. And then, you know, as you aged, you realized, oh, I can eat some almonds. And maybe just at the time that you usually would get your seasonal allergies, you're also eating a lot of almonds, or even worse, chocolate almonds, because chocolate tends to be, for some people, a food that will increase their allergic responses. So down on the foods that tend to cause the allergic response, up on vitamin C, up in vitamin Bs, any bioflavonoids that we take. So if we have a mixture of different berries or quercetin, bioflavonoids, extremely valuable in acting as an antihistamine. Another good antihistamine is bromelain.
Okay.
I usually recommend bromelainzyme. That is a really potent, high-potency combination of high-potency bromelain and bromelain, vitamin C, the Bs for the stress, good probiotics, and also MSM. Now, MSM is kind of, for some people, they think about it for their joints, but MSM is probably a person's gardener's best friend.
Rosemary, I want to stop you on that point because we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about MSM and why it's a gardener's best friend.